Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
Dan, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of the Lansing Lugnuts and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the Lansing Lugnuts. Hello and welcome in to Jackson Field in Michigan State Capitol. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and I'm joined by Zach Serdenek today. It's the finale of a six-game series, the Lansing Lugnuts and the Dayton Dragons. It is also the finale of a 12-game, 13-day homestand for the Lugnuts, who won 4 out of 6 against Quad Cities. But things have been a different story, Zach, against these Dragons.
They have been. Dayton's been swinging the bats really well. The Lugnuts have struggled over the last couple of days at the plate. Had the doubleheader a couple of days ago. Some weather impacting this series, and that can make it tough to get into a rhythm. And the Lugnuts have found that out very well this week.
There was some weather overnight. There were some storms overnight. There were some loud thunderclaps overnight. However, the tarp was pulled. It's been fine. It's overcast right now. We're ready for baseball on a Capital City Market Kids Day.
We are, and it's warm out. So look for the ball to fly a little bit. The wind is blowing out towards right field as well. If somebody can get it up in the air, that's going to get into that jet stream. The ball's going to fly. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s the last couple of days and into all the way through next week here in mid-Michigan.
Ball was flying yesterday. Dayton hit 3 home runs. 3-run shot by Ruben Ibarra. 3-run shot Jack Rogers. Blake Dunn hit his 6th. That tied him for the league lead with the since-promoted Lázaro Armenteros. For the Dragons, they have out-homered the Lugnuts 7-0. They won yesterday 11-0. And so for the Lugnuts, the question is the source of offense turning on their own power.
They have to be able to continue to put the ball in play. It's going to be tough against Jose Acuña, who doesn't get hit hard very often, but the thing you have to think after an 11-0 loss is it's over, and it's the same as a 1-0 loss. You just bounce back, and you continue to try and put the ball in play. If you hit it, good things happen.
Let's talk about the Lansing starter. You mentioned Jose Acuña for Dayton. How about Blake Beers for the Lugnuts? What are your expectations, and what are your keys for him?
I like Blake Beers a lot. He's had a good start to the season, 3-1 record, ERA just under 4. And those ERAs early season can get inflated pretty quickly. And his last start gave up 4 runs, and that's where you saw a little bit of that inflation of the ERA, but still, 5 innings, got the win in that game. He's been solid, throws a lot of different pitches, and that can help him because it's tough to get the bat on the ball when you have so many pitches that are similar. You throw a 4-seam, a 2-seam, and a cutter that are all coming in pretty quickly, but they all move a little bit different, and that can be tough to square the ball up, and that's the difference between a line drive double in the gap and a pop-out to shortstop off the handle.
About that 4 runs that he allowed his last outing, it was 1 swing. It was a grand slam by Caden Wallace of Quad Cities. That was it. That was all that they touched him up. It shows up, 4 runs allowed, and yet, besides that, Blake Beers was pretty good. Now looking to take on this Dayton Dragons team that comes in with 27 home runs this year. Dayton's starting lineup, as made up by Brian LaHare, as follows. It begins with a switch-hitting shortstop, Edwin Arroyo. Batting second, the center fielder Austin Hendrick. Heading third at first base, Ruben Ibarra. Batting fourth, the cleanup hitters, the second baseman Tyler Callahan. Heading fifth, the catcher Matt Nelson. Batting sixth, the third baseman Austin Callahan. Jack Rogers DHs and bat seventh. Batting eighth in right field, it's Michael Trautwine. And then rounding off the order there, the left fielder Wendell Marrero bats ninth. That's Arroyo, Hendrick, Ibarra, Callahan, Nelson, Callahan, Rogers, Trautwine, and Marrero. No more Callahans to tell you about. I look at you, Zach. Out of that starting nine, who's a player that you would like to spotlight?
Austin Hendrick has been outstanding so far in this series. 9 of 19, 3 doubles. First round pick from a couple of years ago, has struggled a little bit since coming to this Reds organization. But, you know, the strikeout rate's so high. If he can start to cut that down, he's got a chance and has all the tools to do some damage.
Now let's look on the other side for Craig Conklin's Lansing Lugnuts. Right fielder Caden Trenkel is coming off a couple of days off. He leads off. Batting second, the second baseman Saheed Valenzuela, switch hitter. Heading third, the first baseman Jack Winkler. Catcher Daniel Susak bats cleanup. Left fielder Danny Bautista Jr. hits fifth. Batting sixth in center field, it's Junior Perez. Hitting seventh, the third baseman Alexander Campos. Batting eighth, the DH Cooper Yule. And then rounding off the order, batting ninth, the shortstop A. Rebiel Anales. That's Trenkel, Valenzuela, Winkler, Susak, Bautista Jr., Perez, Campos, Yule, and Anales to support Blake Beers. Your Lugnut Spotlight player is
Daniel Susak. You want guys that get on base? Daniel Susak does that. 8 straight games on base, had a 7-game hit streak ended in last night's game, but still 6 hits on the series, a double, a triple. He was a first-round pick for a reason. He can swing the bat. Former Arizona Wildcat has been killing it this season for the Lugnuts, trying to keep things going.
We've got the band on the field, third base side, in front of the Dayton coaching staff and their dugout. They're getting all ready to perform. Meanwhile, the Lugnuts are starting to group together, first base side dugout. And it's worth mentioning today that instead of their home white uniforms, Lansing is going with the home white pants and the road black jersey look.
Got to mix it up sometimes. When you have a 6-game homestand, you don't want the fans seeing the same jersey every day. Got to mix things up. Had the locos out here already on this series. Now get the road blacks as well.
And they've got their old school black cap with the black brim and the silver luggy, the lug nut on the front. Caden Trenkel, the right fielder, is the first one out of the dugout. He's waiting for his teammates to join him. The PA announcer announcing them. It's the top of the hour. Lansing wearing the blacks. And meanwhile, on the other side, the Dayton Dragons are in their green Sunday look today. We've seen them throughout the series, dressed up in all sorts of different ways. Green jersey shirts and the road gray pants. Here comes Blake Beers to lead Lansing onto the field. I should mention the umpires, too. The home plate umpire, Ken Jackson. The bases umpire, Josiah Shepherd. They have gone to their alternate look. They're wearing the blue short sleeve shorts today.
You know, day game, warm weather, can't doubt them.
I love it. Well, down to the field we go. As some food fills our nostrils, the aroma from down below with a concourse, it is time for our national anthem. Lansing standing at attention, first base side, Dayton third base side. Down to the field we go. The national anthem performs. It is just about time for some Midwest League High A action. The Lansing defense in the outfield, Danny Bautista Jr. in left, Junior Perez in center, and in right field, Caden Schrenkel. Around the infield, Jack Winkler plays first, Saeed Valenzuela at second. At short, A. Ribiel Anales. And at third base, Alex Campos. The catcher, Danny Susak. And the man on the mound, Zach Serdenick, the book on Blake Beers.
Blake Beers, 6'4", righty, out of Manhattan Beach, California, but played his college ball pretty close to here at the University of Michigan down in Ann Arbor. Six-pitch mix for Blake Beers. Four-seam fastball, two-seam fastball, and a cutter, as well as a slider, a changeup, and a curveball. And he will use all of those to really get an advantage for himself against the hitters. When you can throw that many pitches and throw them effectively, you're so tough to hit. We've seen that from Blake Beers already throughout the beginning of this season.
That cutter, adding that to his repertoire has been a big thing. You always look for the slider, though, with Beers. He has been the master of the slider, one of the best sliders in all of the organization. The right-hander out of Manhattan Beach, California, age 24, who his childhood friend John Beller joining Lansing. The two of them go back some 20 years together as friends. Down to the field we go. Christiana with some guests. Play ball declared, and here we go on a Sunday, May the 7th, 2023. Happy birthday to my father. Happy birthday to Matt Hicks, in charge of nuts and bolts in retail down below here at Jackson Field, the longtime person in charge of all Lugnuts retail and merchandise. It'll be Arroyo, Hendrick, and Ibarra coming up to home plate for the Dayton Dragons, the high affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. And before we go too much further, you can find me on social media at jgoldstress, J-G-O-L-D-S-T-R-A-S-S. Zach, for you.
You can find me on Twitter at Zach Serdenick, Z-A-C-H-S-U-R-D-E-N-I-K.
Stepping in from the left side, the switch-hitting Edwin Arroyo, the 19-year-old Dayton shortstop. Open stance. The time is 1:04 p.m. Beers winds. Throws on the first offering outside, a fastball for ball one. We are underway 1 minute early.
Got to keep that pace of play, right, Jesse?
That's exactly right. Arroyo with a two-tone bat. The pitch. Fastball for a called strike at the letters.
Love that sound. Crack of the glove, snapping it in.
Oh, yeah. Blake Beers, a very deliberate windup. The leg kick, the 1-1. There's the backdoor slider for a called strike, and it's 1-2.
The ability to throw that pitch for a strike allows you to set up the chase.
Arroyo coming in, hitting 178, 1-2. Line drive toward first, short hop picked up by Winkler, calling his own number to the bag, unassisted for out number one. And that'll bring up Austin Hendrick.
From a guy who's been ice cold in Arroyo this series to a guy that has been red hot in Austin Hendrick.
It's been remarkable. Arroyo now 1-for-19 against Lansing. Hendrick is 9-for-19.
Is that good?
That's not bad. Left-handed batter takes. Strike called. Snapdragon. Of his 9 hits, he has 6 singles. He has 3 doubles. 5 doubles, a home run this year. On the 0-1. Fouled away, lopped it off the left side, strike two.
Getting ahead of these hitters is so important for Beers, especially early in the game. You're trying to close out a 6-game series. You want to make sure that you can get as deep as you can and keep that pitch count down.
Beers shakes off a sign. Now he's ready from the first base out of the rubber at 0-2. Tried the backdoor slider and missed away. When Blake Beers first joined the Lugnuts last year, getting called up from Stockton, his first 4 starts were all quality starts, going at least 6 innings, each one. Deals. Ground ball foul, wide of first. Scooted right past his first base coach and into the Lansing pen, where one of the Nuts relievers with a kick save.
NHL playoffs time. Got to get a little hockey in as
That's
well.
That's right. And down to that bullpen, Brock Whittlesey with the playoff beard.
Yeah, that's for sure.
1-2. Ground ball foul. And into the Lansing dugout, then ricocheting right back out again, where Jorge Juan, a 6'7 right-hander, goes to retrieve.
That's always a little scary as a player when it bounces right back, because you move out of the way of it when it goes in, but you never expect it to come right back towards the back of your head.
Back of the head is exposed. 1-2. Sinks low. Change up. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Hendrick batting with a bar on deck. Arroyo led off the game with a ground out. Just underway and no score from Lansing. Here's the pitch to Hendrick. He swings and lifts it to left field. To his right down the line, Danny Bautista Jr. There's the fence, and it was slide. Can't make the catch. It's a foul ball. That green concrete wall was coming up quickly for Danny and to the feet for a slide to try to catch it and stop his momentum. As it is, 2 balls, 2 strikes. It remains on Hendrick as Danny dusts himself off.
When you slide right into it, the wall doesn't often lose, so you got to make sure that you can slow yourself enough that you're not hurting yourself as you slide.
Now, hang on. Have you ever seen the wall lose?
Not that wall, I haven't.
I mean, Rodney McRae, way back when, the outfielder running through the wall, the future Lansing Lugnuts coach. Aside from him, and aside from the natural, the wall wins. I don't know, the Kool-Aid man.
Kool-Aid man doesn't often lose.
2 balls, 2 strikes. Beers to Hendrick. Swing and a miss. It got him with the slider. First strikeout for Blake Beers. No outfielders harmed in the making of that strikeout. Ruben Ibarra coming up.
That was a filthy pitch there from Beers. Just pulled the string, dropped it off the table, and did a nice job retiring Hendrick, who had been battling really well throughout that at-bat.
First pitch to Ibarra. Outside corner, strike called with the heater.
The difference in the speed between the fastball and the breaking ball has been really noticeable from Beers here. That fastball really snaps.
Yank that pitch low and away on appeal of a check swing. Didn't go. Denied by the bases umpire Shepard. 1-1.
The heater really snaps, but that off-speed almost looks like it's floating and the hitter's eyes light up and then it drops like it did to Hendrick, and there's nothing you can do.
Fouled off into the screen on the right side. 1 ball, 2 strikes on Ruben Ibarra. That's where Beers with that slider, really a sweeper. Ricken started in, drawed right back to the zone, started in the zone, jawed away. Deals the 1-2. There's the slider, swung at and missed. Ibarra's gone, and a perfect first inning for Blake Beers. 2 strikeouts as well. We go to the bottom of the first, Dade nothing. Lansing coming up against Jose Acuna.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Vince Cotroneo, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics, and you're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Blake Beers mowed through Dayton, 1-2-3, top of the first inning, including a couple of strikeouts. And now Lansing is coming up. Zach Sardenick, how about their starting pitcher, Jose Acuna?
Acuna, 20-year-old righty out of Bahuma, Venezuela, who's making yet another start for this Dayton team and has been really good this season so far. This is start number 3, appearance number 5, a 2-0 record, ERA at 2.65. Continuing to get the job done. Fastball, slider change. Not an overpowering fastball, though. 90 to 92, but location is critical for Acuna.
Ball 1 up and away to Caden Trinkel. I would say pitchers and real estate agents. Location, location, location. Welcome back to the starting lineup, Trenkel. He takes, strike called on the outside corner. 1-1, had the last 2 days off, but now he is a fresh man. Had an 18-game on-base streak, and the day that it ended, he won a game. The pitch, Trenkel takes, up and away. Go back to the doubleheader. So Dayton won the first game of the series on Wednesday, and then Thursday took game one of the doubleheader, won it 7-4. Trenkel took an over, on-base streak over. Trenkel takes high and outside, ball three. But then in game two, it was Trenkel with a sack fly in the bottom of the seventh inning to tie the game. That forced extras, and he won it in the ninth with an RBI single. 3-1 pitch from Acuna. Swing and a miss. That exploded by him. 3-2.
That's a nice way to make yourself feel a little better about an over.
Yeah, I think so.
They always say in baseball, the best thing about it is if you have a bad game, there's always one tomorrow. There might be another one today.
Trenkel goes down swinging. Acuna strikes him out. One batter, one K for the Dayton right-hander. And next up, Saheed Valenzuela. That's why it's so important in baseball just to have a short memory. You cannot dwell. There's not only another game always coming, sometimes there's always another pitch coming, like this one from Acuna to Valenzuela. Swing and a miss, strike one, breaking ball.
Well out in front of that one. It looked like Valenzuela was sitting on a heater, trying to take that ball into the gap and flailing at it.
Acuna offers. That's tapped foul at home plate, nothing in two. Valenzuela was the Lansing offense yesterday. He had a single in the first inning and a single in the fourth inning. And the Lugnuts finished the game with two hits. And they lost 11-0. 0-0 today. Acuna off the hezzy. Outside, ball one.
The body control to be able to do that and not have it every pitch is really tough. And that pitch wasn't that far out. It's not like he completely lost his control to do it.
Tried to backdoor him, missed outside. Two balls and two strikes on Valenzuela. That's what I always wonder, Zach, when a pitcher goes to the hesitation leg kick, how well does he command? You really test out your body in the core. 2-2, breaking ball waved at and missed. Boy, that pitch bent down and in, and that's back-to-back strikeouts for Acuna. Jack Winkler tries his luck.
We're starting to see the reason here, Jesse, early, that the career batting average against for Jose Acuna is below 200.
Right-hander deals to right-hander. Winkler takes ball one. I mean, so far so good in terms of the pitchers. Now, the throws back to the mound. That one there got away. So here's Jack Winkler for the first time all year batting third in the order. And the pitch. Front door breaking ball for a called strike. Jack this year, 22 prior starts. Every single one of them had been in the two hole. Heading to 20. The 1-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. Trying to wait on another good hook. 1-2.
Acuna loves that slider today. He seems to really have that pitch going, and when he does and he's able to locate the fastball along with it, he's really tough to hit.
1-2 pitch, swing and a miss, got him with the fastball. Acuna strikes out the side in the first inning, and onward to the second. We are scoreless from Jackson Field.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this, and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
one inning in, three up, three down for each side, five strikeouts for the starting pitchers combined. Blake Beers and Jose Acuna, the two right-handers. Here's the Lansing starter, the native Californian Blake Beers, to face 4, 5, and 6 in the Dayton starting lineup. That means Callahan, Nelson, and Callahan. That feels like a law firm. Tyler Callahan batting left, the cleanup hitter. Beers offers. Bunt shown. Backdoor breaking ball slid outside. Ball one.
So do you think both Callahans would get it separately in the law firm, or is it just going to be like Callahans and Nelson?
No, I think
Callahan and Nelson and Callahan?
Here's why. There's ball two. Because the Callahans are spelled differently.
That is true. They are.
Dare pluralize it. C-A-L-L-I-H-A-N. I'm very subtle, right? I say Callahan. 2-0. Ball three outside. Tyler Callahan. Matt Nelson and then Austin Callahan. C-A-L-L-A-H-A-N. Right? It's a very important distinction.
It is.
Unrelated. 3-0. That's at the knees for a called strike.
I bet they get a lot less questions on whether they're related from people that see the last names rather than just hear it.
Yes. It's very much, if things are delivered orally well, Beers finds the outside corner with a slider. And now it's 3-2.
Really good job to get back in the count by Blake Beers. I mean, we talked in the first inning about how important it is for him to get ahead in counts. Fell behind 3-0 to the cleanup hitter. Never a spot you want to be, but now right back in it, 3-2, got a chance to win the battle.
I have to tell you, too, as Tyler Callahan digs back in 6-for-17, four doubles and a homer in the series. Payoff pitch, slider chased and missed. He's gone on strikes. And Blake Beers has struck out 3 in a row. One away in the second inning. This is of no fault to Dayton, but they've got the two Callahans, Austin and Tyler, and they have the two Austins, Callahan and Hendrick. And so often I've seen them batting near each other in the order. Very thankful that everybody here is alternating. Austin Hendrick, Ruben Ibarra, Tyler Callahan, Matt Nelson, Austin Callahan. Here's Matt Nelson swinging and missing. Strike one.
Nelson did not look comfortable on that swing from Beers. Was not expecting the high heater, and it's a good job and a good sign as a pitcher when you can get swings like that.
Slider on the outer edge. Strike two called.
Similar to the swings we saw from the Lugnuts throughout that first inning. Jose Acuna was having all the hitters out of sorts.
Swings and misses at fastball and slider for Acuna. 0-2. That's dragged down and away and taken for ball one. I've got one more name thing for you. Go back years ago when Lansing was affiliated with the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, the Blue Jays had an outfield in their system that, wait till I tell you the names of the three outfielders. 1-2. Foul back over the netting off to the right. There was DJ Davis, JD Davis, and DJ Jones. So you had a couple of Davises and a couple of DJs and one JD, and good luck. 1-2 pitch, front door slider, strike three called. Four straight strikeouts for Beers.
Jesse, I think it's a good thing you practiced your strikeout call earlier because you are getting good use out of it right now.
And the Dayton Dragons have ordered up a full platter of sliders and Beers. Here comes Austin Callahan. The second Austin, the second Callahan. Callahan, though. Pitch number one. Stroke through the right side. Base hit right field. Caden Trenkel gloves. Gets it in. Two-out single for Dayton. The Dragons' first base runner of the ballgame. And also the ballgame's first base runner. No score in the second. Bring up Jack Rogers.
So Austin Hendrick couldn't get it done. And neither could Tyler Callahan. But if you combine the two, Austin Callahan finds a single.
With their powers combined. Here comes Jack Rogers. Teamwork makes the dream work. Rogers swings. He loops a base hit to right field. Trenkel to his left to backhand. At second base, the stop sign. Callahan started to wind around, and then he came right back to the bag as the throw came in, knocked down by Angeles. Back-to-back singles by Callahan and Rogers, and they've ambushed Blake Beers.
I don't mind the stop sign there from Callahan. He came around quick, and Trenkel struggled with it a little bit out and right, but you don't want to make the third out of the inning at third base. The base hit to the outfield theoretically will give you the lead if you're Dayton. You don't want to risk getting an out at third base when you've already got a man in scoring position at second.
So two on, two out, no score. Michael Trautwein batting eighth. Batting left, the pitch. He swings at the first pitch, flares it down the left field line. That is a foul ball. But I wonder about the structural integrity of that Troutwine bat, because Beers got right in on the hands. The catcher, Daniel Susek, picks it up, hands it to him. Troutwine tests it, taps it. It's still good.
Fine enough for Troutwine standards. A couple of Wildcats, Susek and Troutwine. Arizona and Northwestern.
Very similar institutions. Different climates. The pitch. Slider for a called strike two.
It's a good spot for that pitch. He's been ambushed, as you mentioned, the last couple of batters, but locating a backdoor breaking ball is really tough to jump on.
Well, on to Beers and Susek to keep them off of it, right? Fastball fouled back into the screen.
And that's where you're looking to see from Daniel Susek an evolution in young players and the growth in not just their hitting, because we know that these guys can hit, somebody that highly touted, but calling a game and framing pitches, the art of catching, is something you want to see that growth from Susek as well.
Slider, strike three called on the outside corner. The Snapdragon ends things. Beers strikes out three in the second. Around the singles by Callahan and Rogers, he strands them. And he has five strikeouts in two scoreless. One and a half complete, Lansing and Dayton scoreless from Michigan State Capitol.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is Vince Cotronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics, and you're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
If you're somebody who says, "Boy, I love baseball games with a ton of strikeouts," have we got a game for you. As we go to the bottom half of the second inning, every single out except one has been recorded via strikeout. Blake Beers, 5 Ks through two. Jose Acuna, 3 strikeouts in the first, deals. Daniel Susek fooled, strike one called. It's going to be Susek, Bautista Jr., and Perez for this bottom of the second, 4-5-6, and the Lansing order. The righty offers. Fastball high from Acuna. Zach, we came into play today looking over Acuna's strikeout numbers this year and career, and maybe not a strikeout pitcher would seem in black and white, but watching him in living color, 1-1, fastball for a called strike two.
And part of the other thing is you see the numbers on his pitches and you wouldn't think strikeout guy. I mean, fastball 90-92.
Off the hezzy, a slider hammered to left, down the line. That baseball is gone. Home run number three this year for Daniel Susek. Lansing takes a 1-0 lead. A towering fly that he backspun out over the 23-foot-tall wall in left.
And that is why location is so key for a pitcher like Acuna when you don't throw that hard. If you don't locate it, and a guy guesses right and is in the right spot, inside fastball, he turned on that. And there was no chance that that was getting caught.
Danny Bautista Jr. takes a called strike one on the front door breaking ball. Third home run allowed this year by Acuna. Meanwhile, Lugnut's first home run of this series. Fastball high, ball one.
Always a test of a pitcher, especially early in a game, to bounce back from giving up a home run like that. And as much as leadoff home runs can hurt you in terms of they're the start of an inning and can start momentum, they're also The home run that does the least amount of damage. It's always a solo shot. There's nobody on base after. You can settle yourself down, act like it didn't happen, and pitch the rest of the inning.
Have you ever heard the tongue-in-cheek line, a home run is a rally killer? Pitcher gets to look around and go, oh, nobody on. Full windup.
That's one way to put it.
Tongue-in-cheek. 1-2. Yanked way outside off the mitt of Nelson. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Danny Bautista Jr. coming in hitting .222. Meanwhile, for the Lansing offense, which was struck out 3 straight times, and all of them swinging in the first inning, Susak breaks the spell. Bautista Jr. fouls off this slider to home plate and stays alive. There's something I would say to the confidence that gives the squad in the dugout to say, yesterday they got 2 hit and shut out by Dayton. That's not going to happen today.
Getting that first run across and that first hit in general, it's nice to have it as a home run, but when you can get some hits early, hitting's contagious. That energy is contagious. You start to feel it. Oh, they hit him? I can hit him too.
2-2. Bautista Jr. doesn't hit him. Slider away strikes him out. 4 strikeouts for Acuna.
Hitting might be contagious, but sometimes strikeouts are as well, and these pitchers are getting it from each other because, my goodness, already 9 strikeouts combined between these two pitchers. There have been 10 outs recorded.
I would compare them to one another with how we have seen that slider be devastating. Junior Perez takes outside, ball one. You don't want the batter to be able to sit on the fastball, but the fastball is a weapon. The ball one offering is popped up off a bunt attempt. Off the top of the screen, bouncing down, and the fan makes a nice snag and never had to leave his seat.
It's not a great sign for the bunt when it's being caught off a ricochet in the stands, but
better that a fan catches it rather than one of the defenders catch it out of the air.
That's fair, but you would prefer it doesn't go in the air.
1-1. The breaking ball is crushed to left, but foul. Hanging slider, Jose Acuna. After Daniel Susak took Acuna deep to start off this bottom of the second inning, giving Lansing the current 1-0 lead. Junior Perez. You know, Perez, no home runs yet this year. Hit 15 last year with Stockton.
What was it you said earlier about pitchers and real estate agents?
Location, location, location. Perez swings and misses. There's strikeout number 5 for Acuna. He has matched Blake Beers 2 down.
That location has been the biggest thing for Acuna. That fastball that Susak hit for the home run was inner part of the plate, but still right over the heart and belt high. And you do that to a hitter like Susak, you're going to get hurt. But when you locate the way he has the rest of these hitters, you get 5 strikeouts.
Strike called on the fastball to Campos. As we would say, it's meaty. And the big eaters get a chance to feast. Righty deals to righty. Campos takes outside.
Let's just say there's a reason he's hitting in the 4-hole.
Daniel Susak has just been brilliant here this entire homestand. The pitch to Campos. Line foul off to the right side, and guess what? That's a 2-strike count. And a chance for Acuna to strike out another. Tranquil, Valenzuela, and Winkler in the first inning. Bautista Jr. and Perez so far here in the second all have gone down swinging. Susak homer, though, has the nuts up 1-0. 1-2. Change up. Strike 3 called at the knees. And so, 6 strikeouts for Acuna through 2 innings. That's 11 combined strikeouts between Beers and Acuna. But the dinger for Daniel Susak has Lansing leading 1-0. Going to the 3rd inning. And Zach Serdenik will take over the call when we return.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
A whole lot of mighty cuts from both sides. In the first two innings of play from Jackson Field, only one able to do some damage, and it's Daniel Susak with the solo shot to lead off the bottom of the second, put the Lugnuts in front 1-0 over Dayton on this Sunday afternoon in Lansing, Michigan. 9-1-2 in the order to face Blake Beers. Five strikeouts through two innings of work. For the Lugnuts starter, he'll face Wendell Marrero. Left fielder for the Dragons, 2-for-4 on the series, a pair of doubles in that game. Lugnuts shifted a few steps toward the right side of the infield. Marrero at the plate. First pitch, fastball for a called strike, and it's 0-1. The shift rules are in effect here. The shortstop, Angelis, a step to the left side of second base. Foul ball down the left field line. It's quickly 0-2 to Marrero.
Beg pardon, Zach. It's so funny to me that when they said, okay, no shifting allowed, so the middle infielder goes back in the middle and then takes a couple of steps to one side.
Beers into the windup, the 0-2. Pass ball outside. Count now to 1-2. The lefty Marrero, a switch hitter in Arroyo, and another lefty in Hendrick face the righty from the Lugnuts. The 1-2. Just gets a piece of it. Devastating breaking ball. But Marrero able to stay alive. Beers getting the signs from Susak behind the plate. The 1-2. Outside. Evens up the count, 2-2.
It's worth noting that we've got two right-handed starters in this game who feast on left-handed hitting. Lefties this year hitting 205 against Beers.
2-2, wave and a miss. What a pitch. Goes to the back foot, breaking ball. Sits down Marrero, 6th strikeout.
I mean, that pitch is almost going to hit Marrero with the location that it ends up. I mean, that is some filthy movement.
Now the lineup card flips over. We'll see if Beers can keep that momentum going. In the second time through the order, it's Edwin Arroyo. Called strike. First pitch heater. Arroyo grounded out to Winkler over at first base. Called strike again as it's quickly 0-2. Beers once again ahead in the count.
He's dotting.
Arroyo, slightly open stance. Switch hitter batting from the left side. Fastball high and outside. Brings the count to 1-2.
The best strikeout performance that Blake Beers had before this day in a Lugnuts uniform was when he struck out 11 Beloit batters in 6 innings.
1-2. Foul tipped into the glove of Susak. Well, there's 7 through 2 2/3.
This has been staggering what Beers and the Dayton starter Acuna are accomplishing.
Both pitchers have been able to locate the fastball and those frisbee-like breaking balls. But neither team has been able to square up. Now Austin Hendrick was the first of those 7 strikeout victims back in the first. Lines one to center. Perez sliding to make the play. And Rob Hendrick of a base hit. A 1-2-3, top of the third. Lugnuts trying to add to a 1-0 lead when we come back.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the app or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers,
or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Jose Acuña has struck out six Lugnuts through two innings, but a solo shot from Daniel Susak put Lansing on the board. That's where it stands, 1-0 in the bottom of the third inning. 8-9-1, Cooper Yuhl, Aribiel Angeles, and Caden Tranquil to face Acuña. 6-2 righty. Using all three of his pitches well, that fastball, slider, changeup mix. From the Dragons starter. Now we'll face Cooper Yuhl. Big windup, high leg kick from Acuña. Fastball for strike one. Yuhl, slightly open stance, relaxed, holds the hands over the right shoulder. Righty kicks and deals. Fly ball, slicing. Down the first baseline, sliding is Callahan, but he's unable to make the play near the Lugnuts bullpen. New life for Cooper Yuhl, but an 0-2 count.
That's difficult. That's drifting away from the fielders. That ball is up there in the overcast skies, so difficult to track it and find it all the while it's moving away from you. Meanwhile, Jose Acuña is on the mat going, oh, a chance for a strikeout, huh?
I'm sure he'll take that chance. He has been dealing so far on this Sunday afternoon. The 0-2. Wave and a miss. Seven strikeouts. Starts that slider over the heart of the plate and bends it away. Yuhl could do nothing but come up empty.
You know, yesterday was all about the anniversary of the Kerry Wood 20-strikeout game.
Still got a long way to go, but seven already for Acuña. Donnellis pops one right at us here. Lands just in front of us, Jesse. Looked like you were getting ready to make that catch.
Either that or protect the computer.
0-1, fly ball, left field. Marrero back to make the play just in front of the track. The first out recorded in play against Jose Acuña. Two away.
That ball is still sitting right there. It's about 10 feet away from us.
It almost got to you, Jesse.
That's okay. It doesn't need to get to me. You don't need to put me or the computer on the injured list.
Caden Tranquil, first pitch, chopper to second. Tyler Callahan, quick flip to first. And another 1-2-3 inning worked by Jose Acuña. We're through three at Jackson Field. The Susak homer. The only thing on the scorecard, it's 1-0 Lugnuts. End of the fourth.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Yeah. Top of the fourth inning from Jackson Field. Blake Beers back to the mound, holding a 1-0 lead. Lugnuts trying to pick up their second win and close out the homestand well against the Dayton Dragons, as Ruben Ibarra, Tyler Callahan, and Matt Nelson are the three due up to face Beers. And a big half shift for the Lugnuts, as can't fully shift anymore, as we talked about earlier, but a few steps to the left side with Ibarra in, called strike. That inside fastball is so tough for a power hitter like Ibarra to get to. Beers into the windup, the 0-1. Chop back to the screen by Ibarra. It's quickly 0-2. Beers discarded of Ibarra back in the first inning, the second of seven strikeout victims.
The one moment of great success that Dayton has had against Blake Beers has been when they all started swinging early and jumping on him. The deeper the counts have gone, the more they've been helpless.
The 0-2. Shot foul the other way. Ibarra stays alive. And you mentioned that part of it might have to do with the arsenal of pitches from Blake Beers. You've got six different pitches you're trying to guess. Time called by Ibarra. Got to lose the elbow guard.
Yeah. Ruben Ibarra says, forget this. Whether he broke it or whether he just wants to have that elbow bare.
The 0-2 from Beers. Soft line drive into left field. It fooled Campos at third. And the leadoff man aboard for Dayton in the top of the fourth.
It was like somebody had glued Campos' spikes down to the dirt. Right, he was trying to move for it, and he just couldn't. So in the end, he fell to his left as that ball sailed by him.
Ball sounded like it was hit harder than it was. Came off the bat pretty softly.
I think the bat shattered.
Now Tyler Callahan takes a backdoor slider for a called strike. Third hit for Dayton on the ballgame against Beers. First two were back-to-back two-out singles in the second. But Beers struck out Troutwine to retire that threat. Now has a leadoff man on. Couple of step leadoff of first for Ibarra. Callahan hits from the left side against the righty Beers. Chops one to first. Fielded just foul. And Ibarra will have to trot back, having some fun with Onilis at short.
Jogging in front of his old high school teammate, Saheed Valenzuela, the second baseman. By the way, Ruben Ibarra, I know he's 6'4", 290 pounds. He already has a stolen base this year. You do have to keep your eye on him.
Winkler holding him on. Beers is keeping the eye on him. Takes a deep breath as the righty comes set at the belt. The 1-2. Another soft chopper. Foul down the first base line. Good battle from Tyler Callahan.
What Blake Beers has gone to against these left-handed batters to get them. Often we'll see him go snapdragon slider in the outside corner. That last one was a changeup. He has gone slider in under the hands.
1-2. Blows the slider by him.
Slider away.
You don't often hear blows the slider by him, but when they're so off on it, and especially a backdoor pitch, you have a hitter sometimes saying, no, 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 yes. Nothing he could do about that one.
Well, it's the constant question for a hitter, right? Do you look in or out? Are you looking hard stuff or soft stuff? As Blake Beers has these Dayton hitters guessing.
First pitch swinging. Soft fly ball, right center. Trenkel makes the play. Throwback to first is high. Luckily, bounces off the front of the Lugnuts dugout and not into the Lugnuts dugout, so no harm, no foul from Trenkel. One pitch and an out for out number two from Beers to Matt Nelson. And now Austin Callahan. He singled back in the second. It was his second hit of the series. Looking for hit number three. Beers misses up. Callahan ahead in the count 1-0.
Ruben Ibarra is over there cracking up Jack Winkler. He came rushing back to first base, then started jumping around like Belushi in Animal House, looking like a ninja.
Ground ball to first. Winkler touches the bag. And a leadoff single from Ibarra, but nothing more. 1-0, Lugnuts in front, head to the bottom of the fourth from Jackson Field.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Four in the Lugnuts order to face Jose Acuna. 1-0 ball game, bottom of the fourth inning. I'm Zach Serdenich, joined alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Solo home run from Daniel Susak. Put the Lugnuts on the board in the second. Nothing else. Good old-fashioned pitcher's duel on a Sunday afternoon in Lansing. Saheed Valenzuela, Jack Winkler, and Daniel Susak. Now coming up, Valenzuela is part of a three-batter, three-strikeout first inning for the Lugnuts, and he takes strike one. Third baseman Austin Callahan playing well off the line against the lefty at the plate, or the switch hitter, batting from the left side in Valenzuela. 1-1 count. Slider stays outside. Both pitchers have employed that backdoor slider quite a bit to left-handed hitters. Valenzuela, soft pop, back into the seats. It's 1-2.
Starting to see a few more changeups as well here from Acuna.
Allowing him to mix in some more pitches as he goes through the order the second time.
He's been so efficient.
The 1-2. Change up low. Evens the count. Good discipline there from Valenzuela. There's not much you can really do with that pitch except for chop it straight into the ground.
Or swing over the top of it and miss it.
2-2, line drive the other way, sinking into left, and a diving catch by Marrero to take away extra bases from Saheed Valenzuela.
Marrero yesterday made a tremendous catch as the first baseman in foul ground. Here he appeared to be reading it, and at the last second, Zach, he gained urgency and gave out his body. I think he was doing some tricks on him in the air.
Brings up Jack Winkler. Called strike to start the at-bat. That's the second really nice play we've seen. Junior Perez made a spectacular catch in center earlier in the game. Fouled away by Winkler. It's quickly 0-2.
You know what we're seeing more of, though, is balls in play out of the first eight hitters for the Lansing Lugnuts. One homered, and everybody else struck out. The last three, though, have put the ball into play.
Put the ball in play, good things happen. At least that's how the saying goes. 1-2 count to Jack Winkler. Righty delivers. Ground ball off the glove of Acuna. Slides, throws, in time. Jose Acuna showing the pitchers are athletes too.
That's tough. That's a bang bang play at first base. And we just had the Kentucky Derby yesterday. That would have been called a photo finish.
Really tight. Sometimes you see the benefit of the doubt go to a player that makes a play like Jose Acuna just did. He fielded that on the edge of the infield grass. as he slid down.
It's the whole fascination, too, for the first base umpire, in this case Josiah Shepherd. It's all sound of the ball hitting the mitt as you watch the foot upon the bag.
Fastball out. Evens the count to Susak. Got a heater on the inner third of the plate. But he hammered to left field. Put the lug nuts up 1-0. That is the lone hit for Lansing to this point against Acuna. The slider outside makes it 2-1.
What I appreciate about his strength is he doesn't have to get all of it to get enough.
Elevated fastball tipped into the glove. It's 2-2. See the frame from Susak. Such a large presence in that right-handed batter's box. Bends the knees slightly, holds that bat at an angle over that right shoulder. High fastball and a mile-high pop-up. Right side of the infield, Ibarra in foul territory for out number three. Quickly through four in Lansing. It's 1-0. Lugnuts in front. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler has the call when we come back to Jackson Field.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now, back to the action. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
In fact, it's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Zach Serdenick today. Thank you so much for keeping us company from Lansing, Michigan. It's 1-0 Lugnuts on top of the visiting Dayton Dragons, wrapping up this six-game series. Lansing and Dayton in prior years have gotten together an awful lot. This year, after today, six games at Dayer Ballpark in the Gem City from August 22nd through August the 27th. And that's it, just 12 meetings this year. The top of the fifth inning with the right-hander Blake Beers for the Nuts protecting a 1-0 lead. Deals, Jack Rogers takes ball one. First pitch to Rogers, his first time up. He singled the right field in the second inning. He and Austin Callahan, who had also singled, were stranded. There's a foul straight back in the cap. One ball, one strike, and the number seven hitter and the DH for Dayton. Rogers, Troutwine, and Marrero here, 7-8-9. We're going to do some trivia as well in this top of the fifth inning.
Both Beers and Acuna have been pretty efficient so far. Neither pitcher up over the 56 pitch mark through four innings.
That was pitch number 59, third pitch of the at-bat. Here comes number 60, two balls and a strike on Rogers. Left-handed hitting slugger takes, strike two called. So 60 pitches facing the first batter in the top of the fifth inning. That's outstanding. The Rock, a 2-2. A slider grounded sharply up the right side, off the railing, bounding back into play. Out of the Lansing Lugnuts pen, once again, the relievers are active.
You got to keep yourself warm somehow.
Yeah. I think that was Tyler Baum. 2-2. Driven left field. Danny Bautista Jr. is back. He's approaching the wall, and he makes a basket catch. Oh, goodness, Danny Bautista. Rushing back and then realizing at the last second, wait, the ball is going to land right where I'm standing. And putting his glove up against his waist, he brought that ball in and he cushioned it up against his belly. Rogers robbed route number one.
If he was a wide receiver, they would tell him to catch it with his hands. Tried to use the body to aid that catch, but a catch is a catch, and you'll take it.
A catch is a catch, and he completed the process.
Yes, he did.
Michael Trout, one batting left. Swings, lines it over short, base hit left field. Batista Jr. has to come in to play this one and get it in. Troutwine rounding first with a head full of steam. Back to the bag with Dayton's fourth hit and their fourth single of the game.
That one may have been ruled incomplete, though.
Underthrown.
Just a little bit.
Beers goes against Wendell Marrero. Your Lansing Lugnuts trivia question is as follows. Who is the youngest pitcher in Major League Baseball history to win the American League Cy Young Award? Try that one on for size. Strike one called in the inside corner to Marrero, the left-handed hitting left fielder. Made a great catch of his own last inning. Struck out his first time. One of eight strikeouts for Beers through four. 1-0 Nuts. The pitch. Outside. Ball one. Where the trivia question do this. Who is the youngest pitcher in Major League history to win the American League Cy Young Award? Email me, jgoldstrass@lansinglugnuts.com, or drop me a line via @jgoldstrass on social. Marrero chases down and in, strike two. And now what does Blake Beers go to here? Troutwine, the runner at first base, zero stolen base attempts this year. Any inkling of the thought for the trivia question? Don't share the answer if you know it, but any inkling? You see where I'm going with this one?
I've got an idea.
I'm going somewhere specific. Troutwine the lead at first. Beers with the 1-2. Swing and a foul tip. And hung on to by the catcher Susak out of the dirt. He grabbed it, and that's strike three. Marrero started to the dugout. And the home plate umpire Ken Jackson says, foul tip caught. Dayton can't believe it. Cannot believe it. The home plate umpire Ken Jackson made the motion of saying, yes, you tipped it. Yes, he caught it. Called it an out. Here comes the manager, Brian LeHair, for the explanation. This would be strikeout number 9 for Beers. Dayton's contention is that the ball hit the ground.
Correct. There's no question that it was tipped. It's just, did Susak hang on to it? And it was really close. The ball was very close to hitting the ground if it didn't. But it was a quick motion from Ken Jackson that it was caught. Susak immediately brought it up and said, I've got it. And Jackson made the call. I'd be stunned if they do anything about this.
Nope. Wendell Marrero back to the dugout, swinging his bat. Frustrated. He's 0 for 2 with 2 Ks. 9 strikeouts for Beers, 2 outs in the 5th. Edwin Arroyo, the leadoff man, takes his third turn. A ground out and a strikeout. So how about that? Out first, Troutwine. Dayton is down 1-0, day after scoring 11 runs. Here's the pitch. Arroyo strokes it on the line, left center field. Junior Perez reaches in to make the catch. And Beers is through 5 scoreless innings. He strands the single by Troutwine. He strikes out his 9th. And we're halfway to the house from Jackson Field. Lansing leading 1-0. The Susak home run in the 2nd, the game's only run.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Lansing is up 1-0, going to the home half of the fifth inning from Jackson Field on Michigan Avenue between Cedar and Large Streets downtown. Zach Serdenek, a student from Michigan State University, is at my side. He's pinch hitting for Adam Jackson. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. And as the Lansing Lugnuts start things off against Jose Acuna, it's Danny Bautista Jr. takes a front door breaking ball missing in. Bautista Jr., Perez, and Campos, 5, 6, and 7 in the Lansing lineup against Acuna, who offers ground ball punched right side, past the diving Callahan, base hit right field. Snatched up by Troutwine, plays it into second. A leadoff single for Bautista Jr. Lansing's first hit and first base runner since Daniel Susak's solo home run leading off the second.
Going to be interesting to see Acuna go from the stretch. We haven't seen him have to do that yet today. The lone hit, as you mentioned, the lone base runner before that was the solo shot. So now Acuna's going to have to work from the stretch, and a pretty good runner in Bautista on the base pass.
Junior Perez, the batter, righty dealing to righty. 1-0 Nuts. Swing and a miss, strike one. Well, there are some folks, some kids who are out there doing the in-between innings games, entertainment, a relay race between the top half and the bottom half of this fifth inning, and we met the full family. Zach and I did before today's game. Acuna deals. Fastball, little up, little away. 1-1. The Smiths from Ohio are here cheering on their Dragons.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. Got to meet them out by the kids area down in left field and get to talk some Dayton Dragons with them. They've been super fans for the last couple of years, they described it, and making the trips. They already went to West Michigan. They're going to try and get to Fort Wayne. They're here making a weekend out of it, and they've got to know some of the players and really enjoy being around the team.
1-2, the count on Junior Perez, who gets time granted. This is a very recent fandom within the last couple of years. And then the connections that the family has made with the players. Shout-outs to Matt Nelson, Michael Troutwine, pickoff though over to first base. Safe the call. Bautista Jr. got back in. Just how important the players have been. And they said, look, some of these Dragons are difficult nuts to crack. You know, these are stressful times as a minor league baseball player, and yet they really connected and looked out for their kids. 1-2, runner takes off, pitches outside. Throw down by Nelson. One hops in, tag applied, not in time. Steal of second base for Danny Bautista Jr. going in head first. Third steal in 4 attempts this year in a scoring position with a 2-2 count on Junior Perez.
You would think that's not a great pitch to run on. A fastball outside. Nelson was able to step right into his throw, but just a little low, it bounced, and it bounced up above. Took that extra split second before the tag could be applied, and that's the difference between a stolen base and an out.
Perez takes ball 3 away. Count is full. This is something that we have consistently seen from Junior Perez, has been he gets deep in his plate appearances. And if you look at his stats, his batting average right now is .085. I figure he keeps on putting together solid plate appearances, the results will come. Acuna looks back at Bautista Jr. Payoff. Swinging a tapper. Up the right side. Fair ground. Acuna picks it up. Throws to first. Right off the runner. Bautista Jr. had held up. Now he dashes for third. But hang on. The home plate umpire Ken Jackson rules that the ball hit the batter runner Junior Perez while he was in fair ground. Calls him immediately out and sends Bautista Jr. back to second. That's out number one. So Bautista Jr. called out for interference. Or I should say Junior Perez called out for interference, and Alex Campos will come up. It's one of those really difficult plays, but the batter runner in racing up the side, the base being in fair ground. And so as you near the base, you've got to put yourself in a fair ground to step on it, right? But if you're in fair ground and the throw deflects off of you, the umpire can use their discretion and say you interfered with the throw. That's exactly what Ken Jackson did.
And where that ball was hit, it's so tough in both spots.
Campos takes ball 1, bending in.
Tough break there for Perez.
That's the one rule. That's the one rule that I would say, figure something out to help out that batter runner in racing down to first. I don't know, move a part of the bag into foul ground, whatever you can do, because they have to run fair to step on the base. 1-0. Outside.
It's also something that comes up so rarely that you don't really think about it that often.
I mean, there's a that's just a rule that I say I feel for, in this case, Junior Perez. I feel for the player. And I say, I understand the whole idea of interfering with the catcher's throw, but the pitch, the curveball, strike call, I should say the slider, and the count 2-1, although a very slow breaking ball there from Acuna, like a curve.
The speed differential, along with the location, has made him so difficult to hit.
1-0 Lansing. Acuna throws. Breaking ball called strike. And the count now 2-2. Do you have any other rules where you say to yourself, I understand why this is there. However, it would be okay with me if you just took it out and you showed a little heart. You just understood the whole idea of a baseball game and all the nuances. 2-2. Breaks off the outside corner, ball 3. That's mine.
I don't think I have any real gripes that I can think of. I will say, though, that pitch was a really tough take.
Yeah.
That was a really close changeup to take on 2-2.
Campos struck out his first time. Here comes the 3-2 from Acuna. Fouled away off the right side. Earns another. Action has just begun in the Dayton pen. The right-hander Manuel Cashute. Jose Acuna on the mound out of Bohuma, Venezuela. Meanwhile, Cashute out of Cruce Puncaye, Venezuela. Cruce is a cross, right? And Calle is a street. So a cross with a street. 3-2 from Acuna. Campos goes down swinging. Acuna strikes out another. It is his first strikeout since the third inning. He has struck out 8 now through 4 2/3. And Bautista Jr. still on at second base. The batter will be Cooper Ewell.
Those 8 strikeouts ties a career high for Acuna. He's done that twice back in 2022.
Sun has come out, field bathed in light. Cooper Ewell is 0-for-1 with a swinging strikeout. And he swings and misses. Strike 1. Dayton is out hitting Lansing 4-2. But for the Lugnuts, the first hit, the Daniel Susak solo home run in the second. The second hit, the Bautista Jr. single, leading off this frame. He's at second. The pitch, Ewell takes the breaker for a called strike 2.
That release point from Acuna, pretty tough to pick up as well with the way that he goes through his motion. Takes hitters a second to pick up the baseball.
He comes set. Lifts the left leg and deals. High. Ball 1. Well, Cooper Ewell, who gets the Sunday starts for this Lansing squad, it's his 5th start of the year. He has had a game this year where he had 2 hits. He has had a game this year where he's had a couple of walks. He's looking to come through with 2 outs to expand the lead. A 1-ball, 2-strike pitch. Swing and a miss. Strikeout number 9 for Jose Acuna. That ends the bottom of the 5th inning. He strands Bautista Jr. at second base. We're going to the 6th, and it's still Lansing 1, Dayton nothing.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Blake Beers is 5 scoreless innings. And the Lansing right-hander from Manhattan Beach, California is back out there for the sixth. Lugnuts leading the Dayton Dragons 1-0. Dayton's batters coming up, 2-3-4. Hendrick, Ibarra, Callahan. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Zach Serdenek from Michigan State University. Austin Hendrick batting second, the left-handed hitter. First pitch, strike one called from Beers. Starts him off with the off-speed. What a game so far that Beers is putting together. The kick, the toss. Swing and a miss, strike two. Before we get more into Beers and his hometown, which I want to talk about this half inning, just to give everyone, Zach, the brief intro on you. You're getting closer and closer to your own baseball broadcasting season.
Yes. I'm headed out to the Cape Cod Baseball League at the Falmouth Commodores.
Outstanding. That misses away. One ball, two strikes on Hendrick. What is opening day in the Cape Cod League?
June 10th.
Awesome.
It is the 100th season, or I guess 100 years, for the Cape Cod Baseball League, founded in 1923.
Outstanding. We'll see what kind of talent you get a chance to call this year. But the talent is on the field, and the talent is in the broadcast booth, too. The finest of college baseball broadcasters go out there and call the Cape Cod League. Ground ball pulled foul right side, stays 2-2 on Hendrick.
Yeah, we've got a fun team coming up this year. Matt Venezia and Destiny Sanchez will be joining me out there on the broadcast team, and we've got people from all over the country, Matt, over at Arizona State, Destiny at Penn State, and a lot of talent.
That's awesome. Blake Beers, the Michigan Wolverine, misses up and away, count is full, 3-2 to Austin Hendrick. Hendrick drafted out of high school in the first round 3 years ago. He is struck out, he is lined out against Beers, lined out, great catch made by Perez in center. He foul tips this one at home plate and stays alive. So Blake Beers' hometown is Manhattan Beach, California. Have you looked into why it's called Manhattan? I mean, Manhattan, New York, there's Manhattan where Kansas State University is.
Those are two very different Manhattans.
Manhattan Beach is a third very different Manhattan. A payoff. And a line drive, stroked into center field. This one falls in front of Junior. Perez grabs the hop. It's a base hit for Hendrick at a leadoff single. Base hit number 5 for Dayton. They have all been singles. And Ruben Ibarra is coming up. Dayton down 1-0. Tying run is on. And this man has a lot of power.
Things are clicking for Austin Hendrick. Someone that struggled since being drafted by the Reds, but really getting things going. That's his 10th hit of the series.
He's now 10 for 22 against Lansing pitching. Pitching coach Don Schulze is on his way out to the mound. Blake Beers right now is at 76 pitches, 57 strikes.
That's a pretty good ratio.
And the man on deck, Ruben Ibarra, singled his last time, 1-for-2 with a single. 5 hits, all singles against Beers. He has come up with pitches when he's needed them. But the big 6'9 right-hander, Jorge Juan, is warming up in the Lansing pen. So Blake Beers out of Manhattan Beach. And Manhattan Beach's motto is sun, sand, sea, which I think could also describe Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, for sure. Plenty of sea in Lansing, Michigan. Not much sun here that often either.
No.
But
in fact, I don't see any sand or sea. But today we have some sun, and that's very nice. Ruben Ibarra, first pitch. Starts him off with a breaking ball low, ball one.
See, and the sun is behind us right now, so you can see the sun coming down on the field, but if we look out from the broadcast booth, all we see are clouds.
Yes. At first base, Hendrick. Nobody out. Hendrick starts, stops the pitch, called a strike in the outside corner. 1-1 for Ibarra. We go way back when there were landowners named George Peck and John Merrill. They were trying to figure out what should we call this community that is right on the Pacific Ocean. Well, they were arguing between two names. One was Shore Acres. The pitch to Ibarra. Hendrick does run. Slider taken for a strike. Throw down. It's late. Hendrick steals second base. One ball, two strikes on Ibarra. Austin Hendrick now 6-for-6 in swipes. Is into scoring position with nobody out. Well, Shore Acres buying against Manhattan. How do you determine this kind of thing? You could go rock, paper, scissors. You could flip a coin. They flipped a coin. Hendrick runs, Ibarra swings and pokes it in the air, out to right field. That ball is down for a base hit in front of Caden Trenkel. And Hendrick running the whole way, scores standing. Ibarra pokes the flare of the RBI single to tie the game at 1-1 in the sixth. That ball was tantalizing a dying quail and then suddenly falling down in front of Caden Trenkel coming in from right. Ibarra's second hit of the game and another RBI. It's his 12th RBI in 11 games.
Austin Hendricks saw something with Blake Beers from the stretch. He picked it up at first base, was able to get a great jump there, and he had an outstanding jump to third on that next pitch.
Tyler Callahan flies the first pitch foul to the left side. That was a gamble, because if that ball from Ibarra is hit a little bit more solidly, that's going to be an easy double play.
It is, and Trenkel did a nice job there to at least make a play at home plate by almost deking the potential catch out in right field and forcing Hendrick to hold up.
Callahan swings and misses, strike two. But in the end, I think Austin Hendrick was wise to him. Ibarra at first base, nobody out. The pitch. That's hammered, hooking deep down the right field line, off toward the corner. It's gone! A two-run homer for Tyler Callahan, his third round tripper of the year. And just like that, Dayton leads 3-1. This sixth inning has gone single, single, homer against Blake Beers.
And that's where hindsight is 20/20, but you're going to go back and think about whether they wanted to keep Beers out there.
Well, the pitch count wasn't
right.
too high,
and
as we
why
talked
I said,
about.
Hindsight's 20/20 because he got rocked, but I don't hate the decision to leave him out there, even though he got hit. He was cruising.
He enters this sixth inning. 5 scoreless innings, 4 singles, 9 strikeouts, and he departs the sixth without recording an out. So Beers is out. He heads out first base side. 3 runs allowed by Beers on 7 base hits, and it's similar in my mind to his last outing. In terms of this, Zach, last time out against Quad Cities, he pitched great 5 innings, but he allowed a grand slam to Caden Wallace, and so 4 runs allowed. Here today, 5 innings plus, 3 runs allowed, the 1 home run. And so for Beers, he has only allowed 2 home runs all year. Caden Wallace, the granny. Tyler Callahan, the 2-run shot a moment ago that broke the tie. Nobody on, nobody out. Jorge Juan, I think if you check out the stats for Jorge Juan, you will enjoy the strikeout numbers. The big right-hander Juan, in 7 prior appearances, 11 and one-third innings, has whiffed 22. He has walked 9. The league only has 6 hits against him and has only scored 2 runs, 1 earned, a 150 batting average against.
That'll play, and when you see someone coming in at 6'9", you're thinking heater, 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 but with Jorge Juan, the curveball is filthy. You've got to watch for that breaking pitch from him. You see the ERA, 0.79. in those 11 and a third innings. He has been outstanding. The strikeout number's always there for him as he just continues to pitch really, really well. Opened the season with the Lugnuts. Back for yet another year. This is his third season that he spent part of the time in Lansing, I believe.
Yes. So he came up at the very tail end of 2021 after breaking out with Stockton. Had a couple of appearances, including one against the Dayton Dragons right here. And then battled with his health throughout the offseason, recovering late last year. Deals to Matt Nelson. Check swing went around too far, strike one. And this is by far and away the best that we have seen of Juan. He is now 24 years young. Lifts the leg, offers. On the outside corner, strike called. He has been dynamite and one of the most difficult pitchers to touch in all of high A baseball.
And that frame with the breaking stuff he has, as well as that fastball that he's already showing so far.
0-2, called strike three. Sit down, Matt Nelson. One batter, one strikeout for Jorge Juan. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the strikeout numbers, and Jorge Juan has been so good out of the bullpen, especially against the first batter. You look at that and you hear that a lot. With a pitcher, do they walk the first hitter? Do they give up first hitters against him? 0-for-7 with 4 strikeouts.
Huh. Well, how about second hitters? Because here's Austin Callahan. And Callahan slices the first pitch in the air out to left. Danny Petito Jr. rushing in, makes the catch. Two outs.
That hung up for an eternity, a really long run for Bautista Jr., but able to get to it.
Bring up Jack Rogers. Dayton leads 3-1, three runs home here in the sixth. Rogers is 1-for-2 with a single to right and a fly out to left field. Batting from a crouch from the left, he too is in his third year in the Midwest League, and he takes a ball low. Although, if you want to be a stickler, 2 years ago in 2021, this was the High A Central. It was the Midwest League before that, and then last year they said, you know what, let's just go back to the Midwest League. One ball offering inside. There was all sorts of talks about changing the league names, and so the Low A West.
I'm sure there were a lot of High A Central records set last year that will never be broken.
Never. Never, ever. And you know what? That's okay with me. The pitch. Fouled away. Off to the left side. Two balls, one strike on Rogers.
Now, if you set what would have been a Midwest League record, then you're out of luck.
Well, the Midwest League has a proud history, and that was part of the reason that all the leagues got their names back. The Pacific Coast League, the International League, the Eastern League, the Southern League. These league names go back so many years. That's a ball up and in. Three balls and a strike on Rogers. Michael Troutwine waits on deck. This is the bottom part of the Dayton order. Rogers DHing. 1-3-1, runs outside, ball four. Oh, that there. That's the first walk of the game for either team. That's how well this game has been pitched. Sun shining down. Manuel Cachute continuing to warm up in the Dayton pen. We could see him and not Jose Acuna for the bottom half of the sixth inning. As you pointed out, Zach, Acuna has never pitched farther than five innings, right?
And I'm wondering if the decision changes because of the runs scored by the Dragons, because Cachute sat down for a little bit and now has since gotten back up and restarted warming up.
Can I give a shout-out to Danny Bautista Jr. in left? We'll see if I have time. Michael Troutwine is 1-for-2 with a strikeout and a single. Batting left, 3-1 Dayton. A curve for a called strike in the outside corner. So a kid dropped something onto the warning track in left field. Just dropped it right through the railing. Danny Bautista Jr. ran out, and he didn't throw it back. He reached up. He jumped to try to hand it right back to the kid. Runner takes off. The pitch bounced foul wide of first. Nothing and two on Troutwine.
I got to give him first base.
Catcher interference. Catcher interference called on Daniel Susak. Michael Troutwine, who's a catcher in his spare time, and today playing right field. He knows a bit of that feeling.
And he immediately was calling for it. Mm-hmm. As soon as that ball hit the bat, he started pointing at the glove of Daniel Susak.
Ken Jackson, the home plate umpire, does not do anything by half measures. He's a very emphatic umpire.
At least you know what's happening.
That's important to me.
Sure makes our jobs a lot easier when we know what's going on.
We try our best. 2-1, 2 out. Dayton's leading 3-1. Jorge Juan to Wendell Marrero, batting 9. Outside corner, strike 1 called. This is the 8th batter of the inning. Juan delivers. Strike 2 called on the outside corner. Been a tale of two different innings. First three batters all hit safely and scored against the starting pitcher, Beers. Singles by Hendrick and Ibarra, home run Callahan. Then Juan replaced Beers, struck out Nelson, got Callahan on the flyout, but a walk, and the catcher's interference. 0-2, outside. Went heater. I've grown accustomed, Zach, to seeing Juan go curveball for the strikeout. Although last outing, that changeup looked great too. A 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss at the curve. Down goes Marrero. Side retired. Juan strikes out 2. Dayton scores 3. Leaves 2. Going to the bottom of the 6th inning. The Dragons now on top of the Lugnuts 3-1.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL, opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
We saw Lansing go to the pen in the top half of the sixth inning. In the bottom half, Dayton now goes to its relief. Jose Acuna is done after five innings. Dragons are leading 3-1. He's now in line to win the game. The new pitcher, the right-hander, Manuel Kashut. Zach Sordenek by my side as a Rebiel Anales takes a called strike from the new right-hander. Kashut in appearance number 7 this year, an 11 2/3 innings, 7 walks, 7 Ks, deals. Anales drives it to right. Michael Troutwine back to his left. That ball hits off the wall. Troutwine slips and playing the carom. Anales streaks for second base, arriving and standing ahead of the throw. An oppo double to open up the home sixth inning.
That's what you love to see if you're the Lugnuts, trying to get it right back and get back to the plate. You gave up the runs. Beers got hit around a little bit at the end of his outing, but you have a chance to pick him up, take that loss off of his potential record, and get back even in this game, already bringing the tying run to the plate.
Do you know what we've seen from A. Rebiel Anales during this homestand has been increased power. He had a game against Dayton in which he had a couple of doubles. He has also homered during this homestand. And so here's a double that he drills out to right field. Tapping into more power could change the way that his season goes.
And that is the fourth double of the series for Anales.
Kashut throws to Caden Trenkel, leadoff man batting left, swings, foul tips the first pitch into the catcher Nelson Smith, strike one. Caden Trenkel is struck out, and he's grounded out to second. Lansing looking for the quick response after Dayton plated three in the top half to take the lead. The pitch, Trenkel smacks it up the middle, back of second base, grabbed by shortstop Arroyo, throws to first for the out, a throw across the diamond, Anales is out at third base, tag applied by Callahan. So it goes 6-3-5 on the double play, erasing the leadoff double. Meanwhile, Manuel Kashut took a pratfall on that grounder, and he's got a big smile on his face looking around his infield and thanking them for their services.
I get there that you want to try and move yourself into a spot at third base where a sac fly scores you, but a ground ball that's hit right to the shortstop, Arroyo, who's playing basically behind second base, you have to either make the decision to go right away or you're not going to be able to go there. Good throw from Ibarra, and that's an inning killer.
Saeed Valenzuela in a quick two-strike hole. Time granted to the batter. Valenzuela is 0-2 with a strikeout and a line out to left. Trying to re-spark this inning. Valenzuela, the number two hitter in the order, number two in his uniform. The pitch, just outside. One ball and two strikes. And the double by Anales was just Lansing's third hit of the game. Getting out, hit 7-3, outscored 3-1. Shortstop Arroyo up the middle. Kashut's pitch. Bouncing ball, grabbed by the leaping Kashut. Throws over to first. Ibarra receives out number three. Kashut faces the minimum in his first inning out of the pen. We're going to the seventh inning. Zach Sordenek will have the call. Lansing trailing Dayton 3-1.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Jorge Juan back to the mound for the top of the seventh. It's 3-1 Dragons. Single, two-run homer to start the top of the sixth for Dayton. Got all three runs in against Lansing to this point. The Daniel Susak homer in the second. The only run for the Lugnuts through six innings of play. I'm Zach Serdenek, joined by Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Top of the order, due up for Dayton, that's Edwin Arroyo, Austin Hendrick, and Ruben Ibarra. Lugnuts had a leadoff double in the bottom of the sixth, but he raced on a 6-3-5 double play off the bat of Caden Trenkel. Arroyo, 0-for-3. Hit the ball hard in his last at-bat, lined out to center field. Takes ball one from Jorge Juan. Juan entered out of the bullpen, pair of strikeouts, a flyout. Had a walk and a catcher's interference sandwiched in there as well. Off speed, misses outside again. It's 2-0. Alexander Campos playing down the third baseline, a few steps off the bag with Arroyo hitting from the left side again. Fouls off, 2-0 heater. Arroyo, open stance, batting from the left side. Waves the bat over the left shoulder. Fastball, shot into the net by the Dragons dugout. 2-2.
That fastball gets on you in a hurry from a 6'9 right-hander, just releasing it closer to home plate.
Juan works exclusively from the stretch. Staggers the feet, high leg kick, 2-2. Just got a piece of it, sends it down the first baseline.
I remember when Lansing was taking on Dayton in Dayton and Aroldis Chapman was rehabbing for the Dragons. And the Lugnuts player said, it felt like that guy was high-fiving me off the mound. Kind of big, menacing fireballer.
2-2. Ground ball fouled again. Arroyo trying to time that pitch up, getting a little closer to fair territory each time. Continuing to battle. Dragons have played well throughout this series in Lansing. Lugnuts trying to find a way to battle back and earn their second win of the week. Another 2-2 and another foul ball off the bat of Edwin Arroyo.
Arroyo's had his offensive struggles since being acquired from the Seattle Mariners. He was playing so well for Modesto last year in the California League. The batting average 316, the OPS 1 point shy of 900, but then he batted 227 with Daytona, and he's off to a slow start this year with Dayton.
He's trying to get comfortable. The 2-2 is an uncomfortable swing, but it bounces off the shin pad of Susak, and Arroyo reaches on a strikeout. So the third punch out for Jorge Juan, a wild pitch, moves up the runner to first base, and the leadoff man aboard once again for the Dragons.
Dayton struck out 16 times yesterday, and that is their 12th strikeout already today.
First pitch, swinging and fouling it back is Austin Hendrick. Arroyo was on the move on the first pitch against Juan. Austin Hendrick, 10 hits in the series, singled and scored to lead off the sixth. That's from the left side against the big righty. Three-step lead at first for Arroyo. Unsurprisingly, after Arroyo took off on the first pitch, it's an outside fastball. Count to 1-1. Juan gets the sign from Susak. Couple of looks over. 1-1, another line drive off the bat of Hendrick, but this one right at the center fielder Perez, and one away.
I mean, that's three straight plate appearances for Austin Hendrick, where he squared it up and put it right back up the middle. Two of them, though, into the mid of Perez.
Got to hit it where they ain't.
It's a good approach, though.
It is.
That's exactly what you want to see, is take it back up through the middle of the field.
Now the power hitting first baseman Ruben Ibarra had a soft single the other way against Blake Beers in the sixth. Power on power on that first pitch. Comes up empty on the elevated heater from Jorge Juan. Three-step lead. Arroyo creeping, and Juan wisely checks over on him.
Last time that Jorge Juan was on the mound, he threw over to first, but there was no Dayton Dragons runner at first, and there was no Lansing Lugnuts first baseman covering. So the throw went right into the stands, and that was a balk. An unusual play the other night.
Don't usually see that at all. Ibarra looked like he might have broken his bat as he chops it foul down the third baseline, and he will head to get a new bat.
We've seen a lot of smashed lumber from Blake Beers first and now Jorge Juan. Now that game two of the doubleheader, was surreal. But that remains Lansing's only victory in the series.
Ibarra gets a new bat. He'll get it ready to go to his standards, and there's a Lugnuts reliever up and warming. It's Grant Holman, 22-year-old righty, up and throwing, presumably to get the eighth for Lansing, but still work to be done here in the top of the seventh.
We talked to Grant earlier today, told us that he was slated to pitch one inning.
Barr with that open stance, bends the knees, holds the bat right on the shoulder, and lifts it as Juan lifts the leg. Strike three called. Fastball on the outside edge. Ken Jackson rings him up. Second strikeout of the inning. But the man who reached on a strikeout, Edwin Arroyo, stands at first base.
Well, here's the man, Zach, with the biggest swing of the game so far.
The go-ahead two-run homer from Tyler Callahan, and he lines a base hit into center. Arroyo will hold at second. Two on with two away, and Matt Nelson to step up, trying to increase the lead for Dayton. Matt Nelson has had a rough afternoon at the plate. Called out on strikes twice and flew out to right field. First pitch, chop foul, third baseline, out in front of the off-speed from Juan.
Well, that he was looking for. That's not just a first pitch swing. It's a first pitch swing on a curveball. So Nelson is up there saying, throw me the curve, I'll be ready. He got the curve. He was just a little bit too far out in front.
A little over-anxious to hit that pitch when you see the one you like.
I mean, it shows you how a batter's approach changes against Jorge Juan, right? Usually the batter would sit fastball, especially early in the count. And we just saw Jorge Juan strike out Ruben Ibarra with the fastball. There's Matt Nelson going, I'm expecting the curveball.
Nelson was called out on strikes in the first at-bat that Jorge Juan had in this game. A peel out. No swing, says Josiah Shepard on the 0-1 fastball. Evens the count. Juan entered to face Nelson with the bases empty in the top of the sixth. Now sees him with 2-1 and 2 outs here in the seventh. Called strike, outside edge on the fastball. That's the same spot that just saw Ruben Ibarra rung up. Juan rocks himself set on the rubber. The 1-2. Punches him out. Gets him swinging on the breaking ball. Juan works out of the jam. It's time to stretch from Jackson Field. 3-1 Dragons in front. We're all stretched and ready to go for the bottom of the seventh inning as Manuel Kashut comes back to the mound for his second inning of work for Dayton. Gave up the leadoff double to Irebiel Anales, but then the double play erased it. Only faced three in the bottom of the sixth, and now faces Jack Winkler, Daniel Susak, and Danny Bautista Jr. In the bottom of the seventh, Winkler fouled off. First pitch breaking ball from Kashut. Infield deep. Across the diamond for the Dragons, 3-1 Dayton in front. Fastball up, just above the letters of Winkler. 1-1 count now. Strikeout and a ground out for Jack Winkler. High fly ball slicing down the right field line. Long run for Troutwine toward the Lugnuts bullpen, and he can't get to it. Lands just in front of that wall. Chawine tosses it into the stands. Plenty of kids down there on Kids Day. One, two count, new life for Jack Winkler. Holds that bat high. Over the right shoulder, righty-righty matchup. Kashut delivers, line drive center field. Hendrick came in, now watches it go over his head all the way to the wall. Winkler thought about rounding second, but he'll hold. Second straight inning with a leadoff double for Lansing.
It was not the best read by Austin Hendrick in center field. Realized far too late that that ball was hit well and carrying over his head.
They say the toughest play for an outfielder is a line drive right at you to judge the distance, and Hendrick unable to get a good read on it. Brings up Susak, already drove in the only run for the Lugnuts in this game, trying to add another.
And he's the potential game-tying run.
Dragons playing a few steps toward the left side. Playing Susak to pull. Ibarra well off the line at first. Ground ball left side. Snow cone play at third. Thrown across by Austin Callahan to retire Susak. Just able to get the glove on it.
Yeah, the native Nebraskan is 6 feet 3 inches tall. That was all about wingspan, because he reached out as far as he could to snag that Susak bouncer. Otherwise, that's in the left for a base hit.
And a lot of infielders have smaller gloves. Callahan glad that his glove is as long as it is, because he needed every inch of it to make that play. But it holds that runner at second base.
Well, that's the key with Manuel, because, shoot, he does not strike out very many hitters.
Andy Bautista takes up above the letters for ball one.
So because he doesn't strike out, guys, because he pitches to contact, if Lansing just moves Winkler over to third base with less than two outs, you figure they could get him in.
A called strike. Nelson never really saw it.
No, he got crossed up.
He got crossed up, and he'll go out to talk with him. It was a fastball that just kind of popped off of him, and a good read by Winkler at second. You mentioned moving up the runner. Well, Kashute does it for him.
It's enormous right here. I'm telling you, Kashute is not a strikeout pitcher. He is a pitcher who wants to let the batter get himself out. So because of that, that's a very important run that is standing potentially 90 feet away.
And no one warming in the bullpen for the Dragons. Andy Bautista Jr. steps back in from the right side. 1-for-2 on the ballgame. A single in the fifth. Stole a bag. Was left stranded on the base paths. Ground ball to short. Arroyo fields behind the bag. Fires in time. But it brings in the run. An RBI ground out. Lugnuts cut into it. It's 3-2.
Right. Think about that. Just a grounder to shortstop. But because of the previous pitch, that suddenly becomes a run-scoring play. That's enormous.
A one-run deficit for Lansing. As a pitcher, you've always got in your head now. One swing can tie up this game. Junior Perez steps in, takes a breaking ball low and outside. It's 1-0.
We've been waiting for that one swing from Junior Perez. So capable of it.
1-0. Shoots it foul down the left field line, and the bat landed right even with third base.
And the ball goes into the Pepsi porch, and the bat went into the third base coach's box. I wonder what's the farthest a bat has ever sailed on a pitch where the ball went quite a ways.
That'd be a tough stat to find, Jesse, but if anybody could, I think it would be you.
Yeah, get some more stick 'em. Remember, he's got bare hands, no batting gloves.
Harris takes outside, 2-1 count. Alex Campos on deck for the Lugnuts. Harris trying to get it to him, and a hitter's count 3-1. Lugnuts trying to put the tying run on the base paths with two away in the bottom of the seventh. 3-2, Dayton in front. 3-1 chop foul, count runs full. Closing off a six-game series between the Lugnuts and the Dragons on this Sunday afternoon from Jackson Field. Zach Serdenek alongside Jesse Goldberg Strassler. A 3-2 count awaits Junior Perez. The payoff. High fly ball. Should be playable. Foul territory, third base side. Callahan brings it in to retire the side. But Lansing cuts the deficit in half. It's 3-2, heading to the eighth from Jackson Field.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. alongside Jesse Goldberg Strassler. Here's Adam Jackson.
The wind is now picking up at Jackson Field. Jesse Goldberg Strassler, joined by Zach Serdenek. Thank you so much for joining us. As we go to the eighth inning, from the longtime home of the Lansing Lugnuts since 1996. This ballpark has had a variety of different names over the years, but Jackson Field right now. The man on the mound is named Grant Holman. The man on the batter's box, Austin Callahan, batting left. First pitch, fastball high from the big righty. Ball one. 3-2 Dayton for the Lugnuts. One run in the second, a Susac homer, one run in the seventh, an RBI ground out by Danny Batista Jr. The pitch inside, two balls, no strikes. For Dayton, a three-run top of the sixth inning. Austin Hendrick, a single, a steal of second. He was singled in by Ruben Ibarra, who then came in on a Tyler Callahan two-run homer. This is Austin Callahan, and that's ball three, up and away.
For Grant Holman, four-pitch mix, fastball, slider, splitter, curveball. Going to need to use some of those pitches well in this at-bat after falling behind 3-0, though.
Been a rocky start here. 3-0. That's a called strike on the inside corner. Callahan 1-for-3 with a single, batting sixth in the order. Rogers on deck, Trutwine in the hole. Holman replaces Jorge Juan. We'll go through one stats. I mean, my goodness. The pitch, that's high for ball four. Five-pitch walk puts on Callahan. So Jorge Juan goes two innings. Got three outs in the sixth and then three outs in the seventh. He strikes out five more batters. He walked one. There was a base hit. There was a wild pitch. But now for Jorge, what do you say to 27 strikeouts in 13 the third innings?
I'd say it's pretty good.
Oh, Jack Rogers, 1-for-2 with a single and a walk. Takes ball one inside. Holman is all over the place. So Juan strikes out five after Blake Beer struck out nine in five innings. 14 strikeouts through seven innings for Lansing pitchers. As Grant Holman tries to steady things. Lansing just crept back within a run with a run scored in the bottom of the seventh, down 3-2. Ball one offering. Rogers takes a strike called in the inside corner.
This would be a really big zero for Lansing here. You got that run back. You're within one. A run from Dayton here would really be a gut punch to a comeback effort for the Lugnuts.
Callahan at first. Nobody out. A 1-1 pitch for Rogers. Chopper hit toward short. Anales, a short hop pick. Steps on second. Throws to first. Double play. Erase the leadoff walk, two outs and nobody on.
Massive momentum building play for Lansing. Chance to get themselves out of this inning and get right back to the plate. Your offense was able to get across a run last inning. Just need to get one more across to even things.
Michael Trutwine steps in against Holman. Time, wait, hang on. Granted to the batter. Trutwine is 1-for-2, strikeout, a single. Catcher's interference his last time does not count as a plate appearance. Does, though, count as an error against Daniel Susac. Number 8 batter in the order and the starting right fielder today for Dayton. Here's the pitch. Runs off the outside corner. Grant Holman just coaxed his first double play ball of the year. And for Lansing pitchers, the 21st that they have induced all season. My, just marvelous. A rebuild on Anales turning the trick. 1-0. Trutwine swings and misses. All right, so let's talk about the Grant Holman splitter, because that's devastating. He has come back, and that splitter has been something else to watch. 1-1. Fly ball, pushed down the left field line, fading foul over the Dayton pen, out of the Pepsi porch. Holman's out in front, 1-2.
We'll see if he goes back to the splitter. It comes out like a fastball from the same type of arm angle and just falls off the face of the earth.
It was fun talking to Hunter Bro about his splitter the other day. Hunter saying, look, you got to have big fingers, long, strong fingers. And he said, I don't have the same kind of fingers that, let's say, a Shohei Ohtani has. 1-2. Swing and a miss. High cheddar. Down goes Troutwine. Side retired. Holman faces the minimum. And for Grant Holman now, that is 9 1/3 scoreless innings this year in 7 appearances. He has struck out 13. So Lansing is coming up. Bottom of the 8th inning coming up next. Dragons 3, Lugnuts 2.
Protect her home and family in a disaster. Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen. By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
This is Vince Cotronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics, and you're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
The Dragons have won 4 out of 5 in this series. Here's game number 6. They're up by 1 run, 3-2. As we go to the bottom half of the 8th inning. And the Nuts do, 7-8-9, Campos, Yule, Anales. Zach Serdenik by my side. New man on the mound, the right-hander Jake Gozo for these Dayton Dragons. Alex Campos greets him. The first pitch, fastball, up ball 1.
Gozo out of Oklahoma Baptist. Came out of college in 2020 during the COVID year.
Deals up high again, ball 2.
Was signed as a minor league free agent in 2020 by the Reds.
Only 2 unearned runs allowed so far through 8 2/3 innings and 6 prior appearances. 2-0, very, very high. He's fallen behind Campos, 3 balls, no strikes.
Don't want to put the first man aboard if you're Dayton, but the Lugnuts would sure love to get something going.
Alex Campos has shown a way, a feel for getting on. And the pitch to him. Strike called. He's hitting just 206 this year. Came into play hitting 219, but a 359 on-base percentage. Via walk, via HBP, whatever it takes. Crowds the plate from the right. The pitch. Check swing. Strike 2 called. From 3-0 to 3-2.
Really nice job by Gozo there to get himself back in this count, as you mentioned, and set up a really big pitch to Campos.
Ball 4 high. So after he worked back in it, the 3-2 is not close, and Campos is on. Cooper Yule now. I wonder, would you consider bunting if you're the Lansing Lugnuts in the spot? The fun part about Cooper Yule, as he went to step in, did you notice he took a left-handed swing and now steps into bat right, squares early, pulls back the bunt, and takes a called strike. So there's the thought of the potential sacrifice.
There's the bunt. I could have seen a hit-and-run type play put on as well, try and poke something through the right side. See if you can get potentially even first and third.
Gozo throws, bunt pulled back, ball 1. Campos was a ways off of first base with the secondary lead. Quickly hurried back in, no throw by Nelson. We've got Yule out of Mission Viejo, California, against Gozo, the man on the mound from Redlands, California.
A lot of California natives on both sides in this game.
State's pretty good at producing baseball players.
It's also pretty big.
It is
pretty
big. Got
a lot of area to be from in California.
That's very true. Here's the pitch. Yule again showing bunt, pulling back. Taking ball 2 high. while in no rush, highly discerning and waiting for his pitch, should he in fact lay one down. At third base, Callahan has been ready to rush in. First base, Ibarra holds on Campos. 3-2 Dayton. The square early. The bunt jabbed at, pulled back, strike two called outside corner.
It can sometimes be tough as a pitcher when a hitter is squared that early, because you're so used to seeing the same thing when
yes.
you look in and in your routine, and when they're squared, there's something in the way of your target. It can sometimes mess with the command of a pitcher.
Yule swings and misses. Gozo strikes him out. Cooper Yule today 0-for-3, three strikeouts. First out of the bottom of the eighth inning. And bring up A. Rebiel Anales, who doubled his last time.
A lot of space in the gaps here at Jackson Field. Hit something in that gap and try and tie up the ballgame.
One on, one out. Anales taking all the way. Gozo finds the zone. Fastball for a called strike.
Not a bad idea to take all the way against a pitcher that has been a little erratic to start things.
3-2 Dayton. The deal. Swing and a miss. Breaking ball for strike two.
But that's the risk that you run when you take all the way on the first pitch fastball, because now you're quickly down 0-2. Got to be comfortable battling from behind in the count.
Campos jumps off of first base, has his lead. 0-2, a dribbler, third base side. It's the catcher Nelson Bareheading, wheeling, throwing. He's safe at first base. Anales beat it out, and Nelson watches from the seat of his pants. Campos up to second on the infield single.
The rules don't say you got to hit it hard. Anales certainly did not hit that one hard, but it counts in the books all the same.
That's what the rules in the home run derby say.
Even then, you just got to hit it far. He didn't hit it hard or far, but he's still on first base.
That's so true. Well, the lineup has flipped over, and here's Caden Schrenkel. The Lugnuts have only one win in five games against Dayton. Schrenkel won it for them, a walk-off single. First pitch takes inside, ball one.
This is where you want the lineup to be in this type of spot. Try and get something across and bring up the heart of the order for the ninth as well.
3-2 Dragons. Trankle takes. Backdoor breaking ball for a called strike. Trankle is struck at, grounded to second, and grounded into a double play. Unusual his last time. Anales had doubled. It was a ground ball hit towards short. The shortstop Arroyo threw to first base for the out on Trankle, and then Anales was thrown out trying to go to third. 1-1 pitch from Jake Gozo. Trankle pops it foul off to our left side. Here comes dropping down into the seating bowl. And a fan holding a cap, wearing a blue and white tie-dye shirt, corrals that souvenir. Show it off to her family. I think her mom has a bigger smile than she has. 1-ball, 2 strikes on Caden Trankle, the Oklahoma State Cowboy. Gozo throws. That's skied. In the infield. Shortstop Arroyo is under it. The infield fly rule is in effect, as backing up onto the outfield grass to put it away. Out number two, Edwin Arroyo. Dayton had an unusual situation earlier this year, Zach. They had an infield fly rule called on a very difficult pop-up into shallow right field, where the Great Lakes Loons, with the Loons realizing that ball's going to fall, so everyone started sprinting around. But it was an infield fly, and Dayton turned it into a triple play. In this case, out number two. Saheed Valenzuela, switch hitter, batting left. Swings and fouls back the first pitch, strike one. I believe that remains the only triple play in a Midwest League game this year. Yesterday, the Midland Rockhounds, AA affiliate for the Oakland Athletics, a level above Lansing, they turned a triple play in the ninth inning and then walked off in the tenth. That was against Frisco. 3-2 Dayton, the pitch. Valenzuela fouls this one out of play off to the left.
You can't get much more chaotic in the extra part of games and the end part of games than a triple play and a walk-off.
No. Imagine what a thrill that must have been for all the fans who were there. Campos at second, Anales at first. The pitch outside to Valenzuela.
Those 2 innings alone probably worth the price of admission.
Right? They say extra innings is free baseball. Oh, really? It was a popped-up bunt by Frisco, and Chase Cohen, the pitcher, made a tremendous diving catch. Fired to second, and then over to first. Goes O'Deals. Valenzuela serves a line drive in a right center field. That's a base hit. Windmill for Campos around third. Ball juggled in right by Troutwine. Campos scores to tie the game. Stop sign at third base for Anales. Into second base, Valenzuela. It's 3-3 in the eighth. Saheed Valenzuela coming through with two strikes on the line drive. And then in right field, Michael Troutwine having issues. There are two runners in scoring position with two outs, and Jack Winkler will seek to untie this game.
That's why that run in the last inning after the double from Winkler when he came around to score was so important. You were able to get him to third, score him on the ground ball, and all of a sudden, we're tied.
Winkler fouls back the first pitch. Jack Winkler is 1-for-3, doubled his last time up over the head of the center fielder, Hendrick. Came in to score on a Danny Bautista Jr. RBI ground out. Lansing's only win of the series. They came from behind to do it, looking to do so again, rallying in the eighth. The pitch. Winkler chops toward short. Second hop finds Arroyo. The throw to first on target. Inning over. So we'll see the 4-5-6 batters for the ninth. Lansing ties up the game in the bottom of the eighth on a walk and a couple of singles. Saheed Valenzuela, the RBI knock, and it's 3-3 as we go to the ninth inning from Jackson Field.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Three to three between the Lugnuts and the Dayton Dragons. And now to the ninth inning from Jackson Field in Lansing, Michigan. Well, the finale of this series, the finale of the homestand, and how about some drama on your Sunday? For the Dayton Dragons, Tyler Baum is the new pitcher that they're going to face as Wendell Marrero swings and misses strike one. It's going to be Marrero followed by the top of the order and Arroyo and then Hendrick. Baum deals. Strike two called on the inside corner. Zach Serdanik, you've been looking into Tyler Baum.
25-year-old righty coming out of the pen. Four-seam, curveball, slider change. Really can use those off-speed pitches, but everything comes out of that arm quickly. Has a flamethrower of a right arm and really can light it up at the back end of this Lugnuts bullpen.
And the changeup fouled back. I think he'll enjoy his arm slot, too. Zach was appreciating the way that the Dayton starter, Jose Acuna, hid the ball. Well, for Tyler Baum, he's coming right over the top. Wendell Marrero is 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. Baum readies, deals off the outside corner. Two balls and two strikes with a fastball. All three times, Marrero is struck out swinging. 3-3 in the ninth. Here's the pitch. A bouncing ball hit toward first base, handled by Winkler to his own bag. Out number one. No golden sombrero. but Marrero dispatched. And now we go to the top of the order and Edwin Arroyo.
For Baum, getting Arroyo out is key here because you don't want to see any base runners with Austin Hendrick at the plate with how well he has been seeing the baseball today and how strong his swings have been. You don't want anybody on base for that.
You said it. Baum misses outside. Ball one. Edwin Arroyo is 0 for 4. He is grounded out. He is lined out. He has struck out twice. Switch hitter batting left, deep crouch. He swings and lines right side. Taken out of the air by second baseman Valenzuela, the man who just tied up the game with the RBI single last inning. He takes in out number two. And here is Austin Hendrick. Hendrick is 1 for 4. Struck out in the first. Lined out to center field in the third inning. Great sliding catch, Junior Perez. Singled, scored in the sixth. Takes ball one. Last time up, again flying out to center field. And all of his flies to center. The one hit, the other two outs. They've been hit on the button. The pitch, high from Baum. Well, if Baum can get Hendrick, that would send us to the bottom of the ninth inning in a tie game. And the Lugnuts would need only one run to walk off. 3-3. Baum offers. Line drive, caught by the leaping second baseman Valenzuela. He handles back-to-back liners, and we're going to the bottom of the ninth. Baum works a clean slate. It's Lansing 3, Dayton 3. Buckle up.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Vince Cotronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics, and you're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
It's a 3-3 game to the bottom of the ninth inning from Jackson Field. For the Lugnuts, Daniel Susak with Danny Bautista Jr. and Junior Perez to follow. Scheduled to hit against a new Dayton Dragons pitcher as they've turned to the right-hander, Donovan Benoit.
Benoit with a bit of a lower arm slot than you've seen earlier in the game from these Dragons righties. Really good slider. Has a lot of use of that breaking pitch, but he can get hit hard at times, and the Lugnuts one swing away from winning this ballgame.
By the way, our trivia question earlier today, who is the youngest pitcher to ever win the American League Cy Young Award? Vida Blue, age 22. True Blue was what Charlie O'Finley wanted to call him. Vida Blue was announced passing away earlier today. And what a great in the Oakland Athletics history and in baseball history. As we open up this bottom of the ninth inning, Daniel Susak, the batter. Righty-righty. Susak takes ball one away. The Dayton Dragons, it's not quite the same as the Oakland A's Kelly Green, but wearing their Sunday greens. Susak 1 for 3 with a home run his first time up. Benoit offers. Down and away, ball two.
It was a leadoff walk that allowed Campos to get on base and come around and score the tying run. Back in the eighth, Susak ahead here in the ninth.
Sails outside, ball three. And Danny Bautista Jr. waiting for his chance. Does Donovan Benoit keep this plate appearance going, or does he put him on? He puts him on. Ball four outside. There's your game-winning run down to first base.
We asked this question last inning with Cooper Yule, and he attempted to, but do you bunt here to try and move the runner up into scoring position?
First, the manager for the Dayton Dragons, Brian LaHare, out of the dugout on the third base side, checking in.
I think you might.
Home plate umpire Ken Jackson is pointing out to left field, saying, does everybody notice we have a new left fielder on the field? That's really good to know that right now. It's Justice Thompson, who has come on for Wendell Marrero. You know, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that. Thank you, Brian LaHare, for letting everybody know. And right field, it's Blake Dunn. The pitch, outside corner, strike one called to Danny Bautista Jr. No sign of a bunt right there. So the starting corner outfielders are out. Dunn in right for Troutwine. Thompson in left for Marrero. Bautista Jr. takes. Strike two called on the outside corner. The big worry when you face Donovan Benoit is the slider. That is exceptional. But he's gotten out in front with the fastball. Bautista Jr. 1-for-3 with a single. The deal. Ground ball left side. That gets through for a base hit. Susak checks in a second. The aforementioned Justice Thompson immediately involved, getting it in. Bautista Jr. with another hit, a two-hit game. And now the game-winning run is in scoring position.
And a pinch hitter here for the Lugnuts.
Johnny Butler has come up to pinch hit for Junior Perez. Left-handed batter instead of the righty, with the right-handed reliever in.
This needs to be a productive out if you're going to get out. You have to find a way to move that runner up to third base with less than two outs, if at all possible.
Johnny takes ball one from Benoit. Or, you know, win the game.
That works too.
3-3. Lansing and Dayton, bottom of the ninth. 2-1, nobody out. Third baseman Callahan creeps in. The pitch, Butler fouls it straight back. Taking a rip.
But if you have to get out, make it a productive one.
Susak stepping away from second base. He is a very aggressive base runner. Bautista Jr. at first is faster. Time called. Granted to the catcher, Nelson. The Lansing victory in game two of the doubleheader on Thursday came with a left-handed batter, at that point, Caden Schrenkel, going opposite field, poking a line drive single to left. Benoit deals to Butler. Strike called on the slider. One and two.
Really nice pitch there from Benoit to get ahead in the count. We talked about it with the backdoor breaking ball earlier, but it's so tough, especially as a left-handed hitter. You have to be sitting on that pitch.
Benoit offers. Check swing came in, hit Johnny Butler. They appeal the check. He didn't go. The bases umpire Shepard says no. Benoit can't believe it. Brian LaHare is out of the Dayton dugout. They take issue with this. Dayton was convinced that Butler had swung. But as it is, the bases are loaded on the HBP. LaHare conversing with the home plate umpire Jackson. The potential game-winning run has been pushed to third base. Jackson tried to stop LaHare from going out there to talk to Shepard, and LaHare went right past him.
He made one effort, but didn't make any further efforts.
No.
He was like, you got around me, it's okay, go talk to him.
Brian LaHare talking to Josiah Shepard, saying, how in the world could you say that he did not offer at that? Shaking his head, heading back from the bases umpire.
It's unfortunate in this situation with only two umpires. Josiah Shepard does not have a good view of that.
No, you'd be looking for an umpire down the third base line.
There just isn't one there.
Not here in high A. Two-man umpiring crew. Alex Campos, a chance to be a hero. Nobody out. Base is loaded. Game-winning run. Daniel Susak at third. And first a visit by the pitching coach for Dayton. Well, the Dayton Dragons received an outstanding start today from Jose Acuna. He struck out 9 in 5 innings. He only gave up 2 hits. The first of those hits, a home run by Daniel Susak in the second. When Dayton scored 3 runs in the top of the 6th inning, capped by a two-run homer by Tyler Callahan, they led 3-1. And they turned things over to their bullpen. But in the bottom of the seventh inning, Lansing scratched out a run against Manuel Cachute, an RBI ground out from Danny Bautista Jr. And then in the bottom of the eighth inning, Jake Gozo allowed the game-tying run on an RBI single by Saheed Valenzuela. And that has brought us to the ninth. On the other side, spotless Lansing relief. Jorge Juan, two scoreless innings, five strikeouts. Grant Holman, a scoreless eighth, faced the minimum, struck out one. Tyler Baum, a perfect ninth. We're ready. Alex Campos, the batter. The pitch. He takes. Strike called on the inside corner. Zero margin for error. Campos is great at getting hit by pitches. That would win the game. Wild pitch, pass ball. That would win the game. Benoit delivers. Campos pops it up. Foul ground, right side. First baseman Ibarra over in front of the Lugs dugout. The ball's in the Lugs dugout. Catcher Nelson went into a slide. Ibarra nearly flipped right over the railing. The big man at 6'4", 290. The Nuts check in on the two Dragons. Count on Campos now, nothing and two. Well, Campos has struck out twice. His last time up, he walked. He scored the game-tying run on the Valenzuela single.
This is a big spot for Nelson behind the plate because you've got to think slider here. Because on the mound, you want to go to your best pitch in a spot like this. But you cannot allow the ball to get by you. Because as you mentioned, a wild pitch will win this game. Big backstops here at Jackson Field.
And no wild pitches yet this year for Benoit. He has balked once. 0-2. Comes in. He hits Campos. And that ends the game. Susak comes in from third. Stepping on the plate. Lugnuts walk off. 4-3, and the whole team walks down to first with Campos. The homestand ends with a second walk-off win over the Dragons, a fourth walk-off of the homestand. 4-3 Nuts in the bottom of the ninth over Dayton. Alex Campos, I've mentioned, so adept at getting hit by pitches. Fourth time this year that he has been hit by a pitch. And for Donovan Benoit, he opens the inning with a walk and then the Bautista Jr. single. He hits Butler and then Campos. And that hands the Lugnuts the victory.
Back-to-back hit batters, a walk-off hit by pitch. But the Lugnuts able to scrap their way back. Falling behind 3-1. Kind of seemed like a gut punch, especially after the leadoff double, who was then erased in the bottom half of that sixth. But Lansing didn't give up. They kept chopping away at that deficit and cutting it down to one and then tying things up and walking it off here in the bottom of the ninth.
Four runs, seven hits, one error for Lansing in the win. Two HBPs back-to-back to end things in the ninth. In the ninth inning, Donovan Benoit faced four batters, did not record any outs. Lansing improves to 13-13. For the Dayton Dragons, three runs, eight hits, and one error. They fall to 12-15. They do win four out of six games in the series, and the Lugnuts finish this homestand 6-6. Four out of six that they won against Quad Cities, two out of four that they won against Dayton. But remarkable, out of those six wins here at home, four of them be a walk-off win in the bottom of the ninth, the bottom of the tenth. Well, for Lansing next up, time to head out on the road. The Lugnuts travel to West Michigan all next week before coming right back here to Jackson Field to host the Lake County Captains. And meanwhile, for the Dayton Dragons, next up for them, their road trip continues at Peoria against the Chiefs. Zach Serdenick, final thoughts.
Was a lot of fun back and forth action. Really good pitching from Acuna and Beers. Lugnuts, find a way to end the homestand happy and get yourself into that off day on a win. It always feels better on the day off coming off a win.
Nuts score in the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th to beat the Dragons and the bullpen back to 500. To West Michigan up next, but first, we conclude the weekend. For Zach Serdenick, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Thank you so much for keeping us company. Here's wishing you a terrific rest of your Sunday. Once more, your final score, the Lugnuts 4, the Dragons 3.